Mr. Craddock, reel 4. Before we finish with the first, you were just saying what the quartermaster did. If you'd like to continue, because you were cut off.
Yeah. Well, actually, helped to run the routine of the ship, like stand easy at 11 o'clock. That's all you really done. You're there in case you're wanted, you know.
But you're still only an able seaman.
Yeah. So I didn't bother about promotion because I was lucky, happy to go lucky, you know. Always spinning the yarn, you know, always have the crowd around me. I still do that now anyway.
So you weren't bothered about promotion?
No. They kept on to me too, but no.
Now, from there you went to the Drake again.
Yeah.
And then the next real post, I left. You were at the Drake again for quite a while.
Yeah.
But your next posting seems to have been to the Venomous in April 42.
That's right.
What do you remember? Because this is the ship you spent a long time with her.
Yeah.
Well, what do you remember of the, what was the Venomous like? That was another V&W destroyer.
That's a V&W destroyer.
Was it any different from the Witch?
No, exactly the same.
And what happened when you joined her? You joined her in April 42.
Yeah.
Where was she when you joined her?
She was at Troon in Scotland.
And what were your first impressions when you went aboard?
Well, none at all, because I knew it was a VW class and I've been one before.
But how did the ship's company, was it a good reception? Was it?
Oh yeah, they're quite good. We all commissioned together. We commissioned it. She paid off in 42. We commissioned it in 42.
And what were your jobs on the Venomous?
Tanky. Ship's tanky.
Now, what's the ship's tanky? What's the proper title for that?
That is tanky.
T-A-N-K-I-E.
Yeah.
And what was the job?
Issue out the stores. Food, you know. Dish out the rum ration.
So you were in charge of the quartermaster's stores?
Dear enough. Food, you know. Like, twice a week, I used to draw the stores, like sugar, milk, jam, corned beef, and I used to dish it out.
So they obviously trusted you?
Yeah.
And what food did they have that you were issuing? And what was the system of cooking? Because we were going to come on to that. What food first did you have?
Well, you had fresh meat when you could. And my job was to serve it out, you know, chop it up and all that lot. I know I lost about 3 cleavers trying to chop the old beef up.
Was it frozen?
Yeah. So what I used to do is, they've had beef while I was boiling the bull, they've had lamb or pork. Never got any complaints. But it's no use getting beef for you. I wouldn't know one joint for the other. I know for the lamb and the pig, I was all right with that. It was easy. And I always remember going ashore at, it was Mombasa at the time.
You went to Mombasa with the Venomous?
No, but I'm saying what happened, being tanky, you're friends of everybody, but when I was on the Gloucester, I went ashore in Mombasa and the customs sometimes pick on you, and he looked at me. I said, "Excuse me, Governor." I said, "Well, I'll fetch 5,000 fags out tomorrow." He said, "It's all right, mate. Yeah, I'll be here." The next day, they all pounced on me to search me. He said, "I thought you were having 5,000 fags on there." I said, "No, I had that yesterday."
She'd tricked him.
Yeah. I'll never chance it again. But Bin Tanky, you're everybody's friend.
You like the job?
I like the job. And they don't always keep you for the commission doing that job. But I got it. And when the ship paid off...
Hang on, we're running ahead there. So that was your job. What about your action station?
Oh, action stations was marvellous.
What was your action station?
First of all, we didn't jib, and Admiral Somerville told us what we was going to do. This pedestal. He said, we can't do it the date we was going to have it, because someone's been talking about it ashore. And so they delayed it, and anyway, we went on it.
You were going to say what your action station was?
My action station? Anyway, being tanky, I didn't really have an action station, because I had to be, if anything happened.
Okay, so what happened on our first pedestal? You sailed?
Oh, we sailed, and usual thing, 2 days out of jib, you got the planes coming over, dive bombing you, and some of us all got diverted different directions. One went east, you know, to make a detour, you know, and we were one of the lucky ones. We didn't come across much. We arrived in water over there, or a ship, which was lucky. Then I bet everybody's heard about the pedestal, how bad it was.
But it wasn't for you?
Not for us, we was lucky. As I say, up to now, I've been lucky.
Now, after Operation Pedestal, I believe they went on a Russian convoy. What do you remember of that?
Well, we went to Londonderry. We commissioned it, and we went to Londonderry, and then we went to Reykjavik in Iceland, and there you picked up your convoy. And when you get near Bear Island, you knew you were in trouble, because you saw the spy plane get. And we got that bomb in.
What was it like being bombed? Do you remember?
Well, I was up on deck most of the time, and then I was quite happy. Didn't worry me, because being active service, we got trained for that kind of thing. And we knew what we were doing. A lot of these HOs, all those interested in different dates and that, you know, but we didn't, because we was just doing the job we'd been trained for. And
what about the weather on the...
Oh, yeah. Talk about the snow and ice. Sure. Articles everywhere. I remember the captain asking for a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, cocoa. And told me it was made, and he went up to him, it was ice. In fact, you read it in that book.
But you remember that?
Yes.
What, were you on the bridge then?
No. I was everywhere, because if anything happened, you know, picking up a couple of survivors, although you're not allowed to, we did pick some up. And I got friendly with Captain Lohaney.
What about the rum? Was the rum ration important to the Arctic? I mean, would you give the men a rum ration?
Oh, yes, they got their rum ration, just the same. And
how did you give up? How did you serve out the rum ration?
You've got containers, you know. And for the ordinary sailor, you give them a double rum with water. But a petty officer had it neat.
And did it, how much room did you get? Was it much room, the Tottenham room?
Oh, no, it's only his full tots. He used to cost some tuppence. But if you didn't draw your run version, you had that in your money. So if I said I wanted to go on my run version, they stopped me tuppence a day.
Anything else about the Arctic convoy?
Not really. When we went to Pollyanna, there's a naval base there, and we went ashore there. And I always remember going to this shop to buy something, and when they take your money, they'd like a gadget where they put a string across. I never understand that.
That was Pollyanna, that's in Russia.
Yeah. And we saw a film there at one of their bases, you know, their naval base, and that was quite friendly.
Did you get on well with them? Or
yes. They gave us supposed to be black bread. It wasn't black, it's dark brown, you know, and we had Jack, plain demon, they give us, but we didn't do much washing until we got back to Londonderry, to be really cold. Well, we all had beards. We were scared when we got back.
Anything else? What's the next thing you remember?
Oh.
Does this business in the you went to the Mediterranean? Is this business the ship, the depot ship was sunk? The Helga, was it?
This is on the Venomous. It's going to be Torch, episode Torch, say it. And that was invasion of North Africa. And we were escorting the Heckler. There was the Fearless, the Venomous and the Marm. Anyway, I was in my hammock and I heard somebody shout out, "The Marm's been torpedoed."
Helga.
The Heckler has been torpedoed. Of course, they're out my hammock and up on deck because I had to be there because survivors. Next thing, the Marm's had the stern blown off. And then we were three picking up survivors. And dropping deck charges because of the U-boats. And actually, I did actually see this. We was here. Another boat there, along there was this German submarine. I couldn't believe it, you know. Anyway, we couldn't do anything. So time we got round, we dropped some deck charges. We damaged the ship, but she was never sunk. But she got sunk afterwards by another destroyer. But it was very sad because being at Tanky, I was here the next morning. Hundreds of dead bodies floating there. In between the dead bodies, there'd be one or two. You could see their arms waving, you know. Always remember the occasion that you're going to pick up survivor and you're climbing the rope ladder. Anyway, we've got the ping on the Aztecs that meant the submarine there. So I have to go full speed ahead. And this bloke climbing the ladder, his legs get caught on the rope, and his head was banging against the ship side. We shouted up there to the captain. He said, "Look, it's either him or us." He couldn't do nothing. When we did stop, there's nothing there. Just go.
Was that on the same day or the next day?
The same day.
And Anything else you remember about that incident?
So we picked up the survivors and I had to feed them.
What state were they in?
Pardon?
What state were the survivors?
Oh, some of them was really bad, but the majority of them was okay. And spent another occasion where an English pilot was picked up and they had to skin him and wrap him up in bandages just like a mummy.
From burns?
Yeah. And we were going to do an exercise in firing. And we kept on putting it off and we had to do this exercise and that's it. We had to bury him.
He died?
Yeah. But I wouldn't say it was because of the gunfire, but he did die. And the smell of morphine, I didn't like to go in the mess for a couple of days. Cool, put me off.
And that was from another incident that burnt.
Yeah.
Now, what about, you were going to say the difference of the messing system from like the Rodney and the destroyer like the Venomous. What was the difference?
Well, you allow so much a day for feeding. Well, we used to order what we wanted from the canteen. Because you got a caterer for each mess. You've got a drink tank if you wanted me to be a caterer. And people used to ask for cigarettes on the book, you know, and had to write it all down, you know. And at the end of the month you either got a surplus or you had to pay back so much, so you could get a bill where you pay back about £1, which is a lot of money in those days on food. And some of them used to want egg and bacon and sausages for breakfast, you know. But apart from that, it wasn't a bad ship. No, sorry, when we paid off.
Anything else happened before you paid off? Any other?
Oh, the captain used to go on the rounds.
You wanted to talk about the captain, I think. What was his name? There was one very good one.
Falcon Stewart.
What was he like?
A gentleman, very nice. They just say about him that they couldn't talk to these officers, but I did. It's in the front, the name of the captain.
Falcon Stewart, yeah.
Yeah. I always remember he'd come to inspect my store. We only done it about a couple of times with the commission, because once I start, I never stop until everything's perfect, you know. I'm a workaholic, is it? I was always on the go because I liked it. And the job. And anyway, you come in, I said, excuse me. And I'll shake your hands. I said, well, I think you're wonderful. I said, what you've done for me and the ship's company, the fighting off those U-boats. I said, you're a hero in my book. And he shook my hand, you know. Not many people speak like that, but I'm that kind, you know. I come out with it.
Now, any other particular incidents you remember from the Venomous after that?
No, not really, because
that was the last big thing.
That was the last big thing. And then I went back to barracks.
Now, you were in barracks for quite a while, weren't you? From July 44 until, just before the end of the war, is that right?
Yeah, I got a draft to Lanka, which was Colombo.
Now, that was after that was in June 45.
That's
that
right.
After VE Day.
That's right.
How did you feel about the end of the war? Firstly, what were you doing in the barracks for that? It's nearly a year. Do you remember anything about the time in the barracks?
Yes, I was working again in the boatyard.
Doing what?
Doing watch keeping in the.
So nothing much, just routine
work?
No,
just routine work.
And what about the end of the war? How did you feel about that then?
Well, I was bitter really, because I've been through the war in the Med and Russia the whole 5 years. And now the war is finished and they sent me out to Colombo to help finish off the Japs.
So you were sent where?
To Colombo. The draft was called the Lanka. I was drafted to the Lanka.
Is the Lanka a boat or the harbour?
No, Ceylon. So in those days, Lanka is called Sri Lanka now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And my draft then was Lanka. And I wondered, and must have known they were going to change it.
And what were you doing out there at Colombo?
I was in the guard.
In the what?
In the guard. In the barracks. Waiting for a ship, you know. So any casualties, so we.
You were just in barrack guard?
Yeah.
Any particular duties other than
that? Yeah, so I'm just in charge of the prisoners.
Japanese prisoners?
No, our prisoners. And on one occasion, I got woke up one night and said that they'd done the bunk. What they'd done, one chap said he wanted to go to the toilet. And out the door, and they were sprung on him. And I never knew what happened to those people, because I came home.
So you came back in September 45 to Phoebe. Yeah. What's Phoebe?
Oh, the Phoebe was coming home from the Far East, and she put into Colombo. And I went aboard as what they call a passenger. But I joined, I started doing the duties as going helmsman, you know, and you know what. But my action station, it's funny, on the Gloucester, my action station was, I was a steerage position. And that's one of the worst possible jobs you can go to, because they either go for the wireless or they ask the steerage when they're firing, they try to get them first. And you're battened down on the Gloucester, so I never got up from that.
So you were lucky. Now, what about when you got back in October 45? Is that when you were demobilised?
No, it was. I went to the barracks, and from barracks, I got transferred to another barracks in Tobuto, and from there I got demobbed.
And when would that be?
In 46, January the 15th. Is that right?
I can't say it just that, but that will be right. Now, what were you to do? I mean, you've been in the Navy, and then before that in, you know, the Barnardo Naval training thing. All your life, really. How did you feel when you came out of the Navy? What did you decide to do?
Well, I was very married and I had one baby. So we came to London. There was only the wife, myself and the baby. I stayed with my brother. And while I was on the first week of my leave, I went on the buses.
As a driver or a conductor.
Which I had no other job. And I wasn't going on the dole. But my ambition was never to go scrounging, getting dole money, something for nothing. I didn't want that.
So you worked as a bus conductor?
So I went on the buses. And while I was on the buses, to make my money up, I used to do part time in MacFisher's. I paid tax, mind you, but I got that.
A fish business?
Yeah, MacFisher's. I worked there part time. So when I come off the buses, I went there part time.
Now, how did you settle down to civilian life? Did you find it difficult after all those years?
No. Quite all right. But being on the buses, you done shift work. Sometimes you should be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to take the first bus out. You may not believe it. I don't know if you can put it on there, but the Roman Catholic father got on my bus and sat in the long seat. Then the line next up, my boat got on with a cloth cap and sat alongside of him, you know, reading it. Looked sideways. Excuse me, mate, he says, I know it's only 6 o'clock in the morning, mate, your collar, paper clamp. He says, I'm aware of that. He said, my father. I said, you're what? He said, my father. He said, I'm a father. He says, I don't go around welcoming my column back front. He says, you don't understand. He said, my father to hundreds. He threw him in there like, cock is up to your collar on back front, his trousers. I always remember that. But, a couple of years after that, my wife and I went to a garden fete with the children, two girls. We come up to it's this chap, he went up to the wife, he said, excuse me, he said, I haven't got my collar back to front today. She said he didn't, he said he did. I said, I'll get a while looking when I got home. But that's the kind of thing, you know, that people used to appreciate that, you know. Not.
So you settled down all right?
Oh, yes. But then I left the buses, because Matt Fisher said, if I stay with go full time, they paid me more than I got on the buses. So I went, I got made a manager, and I didn't like it. So I went to British Airways, and the job was archives and microfilm film. Not signifiers, assistant.
Oh.
And I'd been there a couple of weeks and the supervisor went sick. So the officer sent for me, he said, Bob, do you know anything about getting a print off of a film? I said, a little lie. He's got an urgent one here for over £1 million. Do you think he'd do it? He'd give me it. I went down, checked it. Got the film, put it on, went up, not touched yours. He says, in the fix, Bob. I said, no, you asked for an invoice for £1 million. He said, yeah, I gave you. And his words, he said, well, we have to get rid of that, B. He said, a damn nuisance. He said, if that was them before you came, you said, I'll wait 3 days for that. I said, no. He did show me, and I thought, you asked for it, I thought you'd get it right away.
Well, that's
and anyway, it took them about 5 years to get rid of it, the union. But anyway, the union found out what was going on, because he was away sometimes for 3 months, and I was doing his job. The union said, you're getting paid for it. I said, no. Anyway, when he come back, the union said, no, let him go. So they got rid of him and I took over.
And that's where you worked?
And that's where I worked.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Craddock.